Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you receive the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
We'll work it out. You know, I don't have to know how he's going to do it. That's not my job. To believe that he is going to do it is my part to it. How many of you know you might be in it through, might be in, might be going through some stuff. You don't know how it's going to work it out, but God does. Oh, that's so weak. Y'all don't know God. Have you ever been through something that you didn't know how you were going to get out and the Lord worked it out? Come on, give him his glory. Give him his glory. Well, I got news for you. Get ready because you're about to go through some stuff that you don't know how you're going to work out. But you don't have to know it. If you know he can work it out, cast it upon him because he cares for you. Give the Lord another hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get your Bibles. Amen, amen. We're going to use as our launching scripture Psalm number 133. Verse 1, Psalm number 133, verse 1.
Thank you, my Father. Thank you.
And look at what is recorded.
Yes, yes.
Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Behold. Of course, you know that word means to focus in now. Come. Pause and reflect on what is and slow down. Don't run through it because it's so important. How good. Somebody say good.
Good.
And how pleasant, say pleasant,
pleasant,
it is for brethren, brothers and sisters,
yes,
to dwell, to do well, together,
yes,
in unity. Now this is an important word because I want to share with you from this message, together everyone accomplishes more.
Amen. Yes.
Together. Say that with me. Together.
Yeah.
Everyone,
everyone
accomplishes more.
More.
Now we've got to have a together mentality in order to reap the best and the most multitudinous blessings that can come upon those who join efforts together, those who recognize that team membership far outweighs singular solo activities and accomplishments. That together, all through the word, it's saying if you can join together with someone of like faith, of kindred spirit,
that you can accomplish more in every arena in life. One of the things that you're going to discover from the word today is that that's what God has desired for the body of Christ, is to be on one accord,
amen,
in one spirit, many members functioning and working toward one common goal, making and achieving those things together that one could not do in and of itself. Most areas of life find the greatest reward in coupling together with someone, again, that has the same spirit, drive, determination, goals, etc. That's why teamwork is so important. Teamwork. Teamwork. It's something that I think is important for the believer to understand, that especially in the church, God does not have folk that he has positioned in place to do the work by themselves. Now, if we, I don't care what team we liken it to, the truth of the matter is it takes all of us to make it work. If you liken a football team, this church membership, to a football team, you will recognize, even though I'm the quarterback, if my front line decide at any time they don't want to do their job, I don't care how strong and how long I can throw that ball, if they don't give me the time to get in my pocket and find my receiver, it don't work. It does not work. Because I need them to give me the blockage and the opportunity to find my receiver so that I can put in motion that ball that my receiver will catch that will cause either greater yardage or a touchdown. He might be the player that, you know, coordinates the throws and the plays, but he cannot do it by himself. Captains of teams, I don't care what teams they are, whatever it is, they know that they are in a position of responsibility. Now, along with that responsibility comes rewards, but the word says so very clearly, to whom much is given, much is required. You're in a tough situation now. You just have to carry out orders as a team player, but it's another thing when you got to come up with the play that's going to win the game. Because it all falls back on, when it's all said and done, on the one who was leading the team. And so every member of a team has a responsible part in order for the team to win. And whenever, even in basketball, don't care who the focal point is, our person is on that team, if he was the only one shooting and only one scoring, the team would still lose. But you let two or three of them get triple doubles. I'm talking basketball now. Triple doubles are when they get double figures in three different categories. I mean, 9 out of 10 times that team wins, because it's all about unity. It's not about one spotlighted and highlighted and the others are just there. It's about all of us pulling together. So when we all pull together, we all join in not only the work, but we all join in the reward, and we all have something to celebrate together. Some of the greatest plays that could have been made by single players and so forth shared the glory. When they could have taken it, they passed it on to another and let him get that. But they got what was called an assist. So I got to tell you, you're going to get paid for your rewards. You see, you really show you a team player when you're not trying to get all the glory for yourself. But it's about all of us getting what is our due and what is our reward. Now look at the text again and let's see what the word says. Behold, focus in, how good, everybody wins. Even if we lose, when we share whatever it is together. If it's in glory and we pull together, we all share in that glory. If it's in gloom, and we share together in that gloom, those who are hit first and foremost then are lightened by our sharing in that situation. Jesus put it this way in the Word of God. He made it clear through his own example when he went to be with Mary and Martha and them when their brother Lazarus had died. The Word said, when he saw them weeping, he wept. I keep throwing out parenthetically to you that Jesus didn't weep as though he had no hope. He wept to identify, to touch, to connect, to show his sympathy, to show his sorrow, to understand that he understood how they were feeling, not because he was helpless. And so the reality is, when he shared with them, before the miracle ever took place, he dealt with the emotions and he dealt with the senses underneath the skin, and he connected with them. And then when he connected with them on the earthly, the natural part, he then showed them in the spiritual realm that he had the power to connect and change what they were sorry about. You know, sometime again as a team player, you got to realize that being a part of a situation means that you've got to learn how to be sensitive enough to connect. I know you may not, because it's not a direct impact, but an indirect impact. You might not feel the pain the hardest, but you ought to at least touch it. Because what happens when you learn how to touch it is you know how to feel it and sense it on a different level. Because I got news for you. Your turn is coming. Your time is coming. Your test is coming. And when you know how to see someone else through theirs, it begins to build up the ability to handle yours better than you would have had you not been touched or dealt with in someone else's experience. How good and pleasant, listen this, it is for those who belong to the same faith, brothers and sisters, brethren, those who belong to the same family of faith, God's family, listen, to dwell, to do well. If we learn how to share, if one is doing well and the one knows how to share with the other, it's not just in substance, it's in information, it's in inspiration. It's in the ability to help them raise life to another level. It's the ability to help them come to another place in life to do well. See, you don't do well if you are doing well and your brother is suffering and you just keep handing out to him. Your brother don't need a handout. Your brother needs a helping hand. You both do well when you learn how to help pick your brother up and say, now listen, let's deal with the cause after you have dealt with the effect. Because the immediacy of the problem is the effect. You know, I mean, and you help, in other words, with the need first. And once you help with the need, then you go back and you deal with the cause so that the cause doesn't create the need again. And then when you help them, guess what? You help yourself, because you ain't got to be bothered with that same thing over and over again. Are you listening to me? And that means that you can dwell together and do well together in unity. In a united state, in a united front, in a united co-op, in a united togetherness, you are able to, let me ask you a question, can you really, 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 really do well and do good and have a peace of mind when you know your brother or sister isn't doing? No, not if you really have the love of God about you. Because you want them. Now listen again, and it's important to understand that there are some people who choose not to do well. There are some people who make up their mind, all I want is a handout. Well, whenever the Lord touches your heart to hand something out to him, that's all right. Because he's not called you to be somebody else's provider when they have health and strength and the ability to do themselves. It's got to be a desire to want more as well. We are not called to babysit folk and to do for others what they could do for themselves as well. God teaches us that God specializes in the impossible, and he makes clear that before he does that we do the possible. Our part is to do what we can do. His part is to do what we can't. Now I want to share some other things with you, because again, together, we, all of us, accomplish more. Everybody accomplish more together. That means pulling your share of the load, doing your part, holding up your end of the responsibility, doing what God has assigned to you. When we collectively do our part, I don't care what arena it's in. It can be in the worship experience. If everybody were in the worship experiencing worshiping, then the worship experience would be at a whole nother level. But while some folk are worshiping, other folk are watching. And while some are watching, others are yet wondering. What's going on here? They don't even understand the experience. It's about focusing in on Him who woke you up this morning, who blessed you with health and strength, who is your source, who is your supply, who is your Savior. It's about understanding that you wouldn't be here if the Lord weren't on your side. It's about giving glory to the one who deserves it and who desires it and has designed you for the purpose of worshiping Him. And when you connect with that, even in that worship experience, it is a way. Ain't nobody got to pump and prod you to make you worship Him. When somebody starts talking about the goodness of the Lord, you say, wait a minute, He ain't just been good to you. I got a praise in me. God's done some stuff for me that nobody but me knows He's done. God's opened some doors, made some ways, took out some enemies, changed some situations, rearranged some finances. God's done some. I got a praise in me. You can shout, but I can shout too. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done. He has picked all y'all on Him. When you begin to think of the goodness of Jesus and all He's done for you, I mean, praise ought to evoke a praise out of you. I mean, when someone talks of His goodness, you ought to be able to say, when you're through, can I say a word? You ought to be glorifying Him with them, but it used to be like when we used to chain pray. I mean, one get through praying, ain't nobody, we couldn't wait till he say amen, for we jumped on in with our prayer.
That's right.
You know what the goodness of the Lord is, that if we understand our role collectively, and we both, all of us, can take things to a whole new level. Well, that works in, again, every relationship. I want to share some other things with you. Look again, if you don't mind, at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes, I know many of y'all don't visit that book too much. It's right after Proverbs, and Proverbs is right after Psalms. Look at this. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, look at what the word says. Verse 9. 2. Doesn't even start off with 1. It starts off with 2 are better than 1. So before we go even further, if you think you all that by yourself, get you a tag team partner. If you think you are the bomb.com, somebody said big baller, shot caller. If you think you all of that, then get you somebody who can join with you. And notice what the word says. 2 are better than 1. Why? Because they have a good reward for their labor. 2 are better than 1. I don't care how good the 1 is, the record is, if you join it together with another. Now, it can't be no any other. I've got to throw that out parenthetically. I quoted it before I called the wrong man name off, but it don't matter. It was what he said that mattered when he said nothing. Yeah, y'all go to acting all holier than thou. From nothing leaves. Now, listen, he didn't say you had to have money. He said you got to have something. See, because what I might need, I might not need somebody who can make as much as I make. I might need somebody who needs to be on the side of me to help produce out of me and bring to me the ability to make it work better for me. I mean, so it don't necessarily mean that the other person has to have money, but you got to have can make the grocery, but can you cook it?
Yeah.
I wish I had a helper in the house. I might know how to go out and labor and go shop at all of the stores and come back and can't make it taste like nothing, but can you make it work what I bring to the table?
Yeah.
Amen. Two. Somebody say two. Are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. A good reward for their labor carries the connotation that whatever is good with one becomes better with two, and it is a heightened sense of glory from it and good from it and gain from it when it is joined together with another. Look at what the next verse says. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Listen to this now. Companion. It says, but woe to him that is alone when he. Now notice what the word says. When he. Now get in mind what the word falleth mean. It means not to be able to stand strong in any area or arena. That means when you're sick.
Yeah.
And you're by yourself and you don't have nobody to get up and get you some Theraflu. You know, fix you something to eat. You sick, you got to get up out of bed and go fix your stuff. Go do this, that, and the, or whatever. Whatever it is, when you're by yourself and you fall. Well, maybe it may be again about resources, that you don't have someone else who is capable with resources to help you in a situation where temporarily you got that support right there by you to help bring this thing to pass or to help tide over your situation. Falling means having a situation where you by yourself have no one else to depend on, to fall on, to be able to trust or depend on in your situation when that day of trouble comes. It says again, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth. Now do you notice here how the word reads? Look again at verse 10. For if they fall, when it's two of them. Because you walk in together and one could trip the other and grab you. Oh, you got it? I got you. I got this. But you walk in there and you all down on the ground. Ain't nobody helping you break that fall. Next thing you know, you on the ground looking like something that happened on. You know how you get embarrassed and you look back like. It's just your clumsy walking. You just didn't coordinate your step. But if you got somebody there, it's a natural response. Ever been driving and somebody driving, they had to brake quick. First thing they do is reach over. I don't care if it's a baby or a grown up, it's just a natural response. You might not even be paying attention, but they know what it says is coming. That's an extra measure of protection right there. Look again at what the word says. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow or companion. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Which means that you stay down many times longer than you need to stay down because you don't have a support system. One to encourage you. Another one to lift you. See, sometimes we stay down longer complaining and being cynical and being disillusioned. And we focus too much on the fall rather than getting up from the fall. You see, you got to understand, when you fall a lot of times and by yourself, how many of you know that most people are their own worst critics? See, when you fall, I mean, the devil jumps on your consciousness and on your grief and on your ability to grieve you to the point of guilt where you start making it so bad on yourself that you don't, I mean, you make yourself worse. In other words, you don't just fall, you start wallowing. And you don't have nobody to say, come on, come on now. Don't, I mean, this happens to everybody. I mean, you know, hey, it's done. I mean, let's pray. Let's get over it. Let's move on beyond this point. You don't have somebody, you know, there to encourage you to get on up out of that mess. No one to encourage you. No one to build you up. No one to say, okay, you miss it. Now what you going to do? Can you change what has happened? No, I can't. But can you change what is going on? Yes, I can. Can you make it better? Can you learn from yourself? You ain't got nobody to tell you nothing. And by the time you come to that point, you beat yourself up so bad, the devil has dumped some more stuff on you in the process. But look at what the word says again. It says, for he hath not another to help him up. Now look at what he goes on to say in verse 11. Again, if two, somebody say two, lie together. Let me say that this means, first, that it's talking about a husband and wife situation. So let's be clear about this. The word says, then they have he. Now, if you ain't married, and you lie by yourself, you might have heat, but it's called passion, and it's called all those other things that may not necessarily be well as well. But on the other thing, it might be called electric blanket. It might be called it might be called pillows, extra pillows, and you know that can't take the place of a person. It's talking about another human being of like or kindred spirit connected to you in a common bound. Listen to what it says. But if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Now, how many of you know, talking about married folk now, or when you were younger, if you were, you know, had brothers and sisters, y'all had to share a bed or whatever. How many of you know that the bed heats up a whole lot quicker when it's another body there? I'm talking about rest. So y'all giggling and hee-heeing under your breath. How many of you know that the bed heats up quicker because of body heat? Body heat is natural. It's natural. It takes up much more time, much longer for you to get comfortable by yourself. Now look at what the word goes on to say. And if one prevail against him, listen, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And if one prevail against him, look at this now, look at this. Though one may be overpowered by another, when you got some help, the support system is going to kick in, and that person that seems to be overpowering one now has to deal with two. Two. And see, even the enemy don't like to deal with two. Enemy likes to deal with just one. You see, you might have some power in one, but you have much more power in two. If you understand how God's word works and how it operates, of course, Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they be agreed, unless they come together and say, look, this is where we're going, this is how we're going to get there, and this is what we need to do to make sure that our steps are productive. And when you understand that and come to the point where you are working in concert with your brother, with your sister, you shall also, again, be more productive. Look at Matthew chapter 18. If you don't mind, and look at verse 19, and we're going to go to verse 20. Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. And the word says,
thank you, Holy Ghost.
Again, I say unto you, that if two of you, that if how many?
Two. that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching something?
Anything.
Ah, as touching
anything,
which means God removes the limitations and or the limitations of arenas or areas or avenues of life. It's not just confined to spiritual things or natural things. It